I'm going to be talking about the kingdom principle of change and planning. The kingdom principle of change and planning. It's a real simple lesson, but we need to understand it because as believers, we must make this a priority. We must understand the priority of planning, and along with planning is change. Say change. Let's say our affirmation for those that don't know it, that's listening by radio or live stream. I am changing every day. The word and the anointing is changing me. Nothing has ever overcome God's word. I attend to the word first before anything else. I search the word for every promise that covers my situation. I keep the promises before my eyes, in my ears, in my mouth, and in my heart. I am committed to victory, and I refuse to give up. I count on the word and the faith that comes from it to do everything that God has called me to do. Here it is. I am identical with Jesus. I look just like him. I act just like him. I talk just like him. And things respond to me the same way that they responded to Jesus. Because one day I decided to change and change and change and change and change is very good. Woo! Hallelujah. So change has got to become a priority. Because it's one of the most stable things in life is change. I discovered that change cannot be avoided, not by me nor you. Change must be accepted, because I can guarantee you that change will come. And that could be good or bad, but change, some change is already here, but change is still coming. Listen, if you cannot manage change, you cannot or will not manage your life. And we'll see how people get stuck as we keep going on this lesson. Why? Life is a series of changes. Look, you used to be 10, right? Something changed. You got older, right? We used to be a size 5. Hallelujah. Ain't nothing impossible, but we used to be a size 5. Our hair even changed. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your hair, your hair, your hair. You used to be married. Okay, your spouse died, or they went to heaven, or a divorce took place. Change came to you. But here's the dilemma that most people face. There's no preparation for change. To prepare for change is called planning. And planning is of God. And as we go into the lesson, maybe not today, but next Sunday, you're going to see that God is a planner. In fact, God planned 4,000 years in advance for Jesus to come before Jesus actually showed up. Have you ever watched the Lord show? He said, remember one of your favorite actors and actresses, and you watched them when you were young? And I said, yeah. He says, but then somehow you think 50 years later, they're supposed to look just like you remember them. When you see them 50 years later, you're going like, what happened? Change came. And we didn't accept the change that came to them. So we're still trying to keep them in the past. So too many Christians are living in the past. And you haven't learned to plan to accept change because change is coming to you. Change is a law of life. The only way to stop changing is to stop living. Because right now, we 5 minutes ago was present. We're no longer there. That's past. If you've been in this room for 20 minutes, 15 minutes ago was in the past. See, time is always changing. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's begin reading at verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So that means something on the outside of you is changing. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things, verse 18, which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So God is the only unchanging, unfailing entity. This is why we cannot anchor ourselves in things. The Lord said to me during this past week that we are entering into a season of difficult changes, but it will also be a year of new beginnings. Some of you are going to walk into a new beginning for you. Some of you might even have to change jobs. Because see, even the world, even America would be challenged to cave in 2023. Some of you are going to be challenged to give up their faith in God. We're in that season. But how do I, so it doesn't take you by surprise. The Lord has got us on this. Look at Genesis 41, 15. Let me get it. Genesis chapter 41 and verse, 15. Now, this is about Joseph. He's in prison, but he's under Pharaoh. Pharaoh has had a dream. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, verse 15, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. So where is the answer? In God. He's the only one that's stable. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 kind, fat flesh and well favored. And they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kind came up after them, poor and very ill, favored and lean flesh, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. And the lean and the ill-favored kind did eat up the first 7 fat kind. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them. But they were still ill-favored as at the beginning. So I awoke, and I saw in my dream, and behold, 7 ears came up in one stalk, full and good. And behold, 7 ears withered, thin and blasted, with the east wind sprung up after them. And, you know, they're going down to verse 28. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. See, change was coming. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. He said, a season of plenty. And there shall arise after the 7 years of After the 7 years of plenty, there's going to come 7 years of famine. And all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was double unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly, say shortly, bring it to pass. So now Joseph explains Pharaoh's dream. God is warning Pharaoh that famine is coming to your nation. Now Pharaoh got two options: to believe what Joseph just said to him or let it go. But guess what? It was still coming. See, God is warning the body of Christ right now. Change is coming. Hallelujah. Can I get just a little bit of me in this monitor? Because I'm not hearing myself doing it. I feel like I got to yell. I'm trying not to yell today. So, okay. So we see that there was a famine announced that it was coming. And guess what you can do? You couldn't change that, but you could prepare for it. Ooh, Jesus. There are some things that's going to happen that if we don't prepare correctly, and this is why you need to have this fasting lifestyle so you can hear clearly by the Spirit of God how to interact, what to do, when to do it, what not to do, because change is taking place. This is not a fear message, but this is a preparation. Because you can't stop some of the things that's going to take place. You can't pray every difficult situation away, but you can prepare. Ooh, Jesus. Because change is coming, ready or not. And because Joseph was in Egypt, God warned the nation through Joseph. He gave Pharaoh the dream, but he gave Joseph the answer. People of God, you have the answer. The world is sending out the warning signals all the time because they are afraid. But the body of Christ has the answer, not the world. They might be sensing it. They might be knowing, okay, the economy is going to go down, they say, in this year. They say even the real estate market might crash this year. And we got the answer. Because we don't have to live by their predictions when we prepare based on the word. So Joseph told Pharaoh, in essence, plan to live or plan to die during this season is up to you. Living or dying is up to you. How well you will fare. And the thing about it, you got to understand, it's just for a season. This is not going to be a forever thing. We're going through this change because we have to be put in position where the church come to the forefront. And God has to change our economic system so the world can begin to depend on our God. Because we got the answer. Listen, you might have to do something different than what you're doing right now. You might have to learn a new trade or change careers during this season. Say, during that season. Why? Change is coming. Not because it's going to last forever, but because it's coming. Ooh. I am not teaching fear. What am I trying to incite in you? A decision to get up and prepare for the change. This is what I heard by the Spirit of God. And we can't wait like we used to wait for things to happen. And then we react. Listen, in this difficult season that is coming will also be the largest transfer of wealth. This is why you can't be afraid, because God got to put the money in the believer's hands. Change is the law of life, and those who only live in the past and the present will miss their future. Let me say that again. You might want to write that one down. Change is the law of life, and those who only hold to the past and the present will miss their future. Here's a free nugget. If you want to make enemies, if you want to make enemies, decide to change something in your life. Because they're not going to want to change, and they don't want you to change. This is why you got to bypass people. When you got a plan to change, you got to override people that's been trying to keep you down. Jesus. President Dwight Eisenhower, who was president when I was born, said this, quote, "Neither a wise man nor a brave man lies down on the track of history to wait for the train of the future to run over him." In other words, if you are not planning for the changes that life will bring, you're going to get run over by the future. It's going to come on you, and you're not going to be ready for the future. The future will run over you. How old are you now? Do you remember your age? Okay. In 10 years, in 10 years, how old will you be? Come on, in 10 years, how old will you be? Where will you be in 10 years? What will you be doing in 10 years? You need to ask yourself these questions. I am not talking about spiritual stability here. You should be steadfast and unmovable in the things of God. Why? Because they never change. That's where you should anchor your life. However, our natural life changes moment by moment, day by day. Something in your natural life is changing right now. Your life is not in your past, but in your future. Listen, don't hold so tight to the present, but spend more time on where your life is. That's in your future. You need to sit down and plan. Where would I be? What I want to do in the next 5 years, in the next year? Where do I want to be? Therefore, you must plan your future. In fact, planning your future will give you energy. It'll boost your faith when you start sitting down and planning. Because, see, God is a planner. He planned for us. And he provided everything we would need or ever imagined in advance because he was planning. He planned our lives out in advance. So when he made us, that was no hustle and bustle. He wasn't trying to do stuff off the cuff. He was just working by his plan. I remember when I was young, I made a plan to never smoke or drink. It was a plan. It was a decision, but it was part of a plan. It was part of my lineage, smoking and drinking. My dad was an alcoholic and a smoker. I had siblings that drank and smoked. I could have followed everybody's lead, but I said, no, I don't want to smoke and drink. I wouldn't even date a person that smoked and drank, and I won't save. I had a plan. So I was not sister spiritual. This is why the world gets ahead of us, because they're better at planning. They take these kind of nuggets you're learning today, and they go to a seminar, and they might learn something similar to this and pay a $3,000 for the course, but they'll go out and work a plan. Where most believers come to a service like this and hear this great word and go home and put the Bible away, sit in front of the TV. Well, that's not you, then you can say amen. If it's you, you say, Even as I got older and I was off of cigarettes and wine, I chose not to because I had already made a plan not to do it. And it was ingrained in me at a young age. I must have been about 8 when I made that decision. I had already seen what it was doing in my family. I didn't want that to happen to me. I didn't want that to happen to any of my children. So in order for my children not to smoke and drink, we couldn't smoke and drink. And my husband never smoked or drank. And he wasn't saved either, but he made a decision. And we didn't even know one another. He didn't like dating women that smoked and drank. That don't mean you didn't date them. They said they can't do it, they had it like that. Well, I'm just talking, he would have said the same thing if he was here. It means he wouldn't stay with them though. He might date you one time and then he let you go. Because he didn't like women that smoked and drank. So you can make a plan and not even be born again. But it's better if you plan based on the wisdom of God. Whew. When change comes without planning, chaos is the result. I'll say it again. Write it down. When change comes without planning, chaos is the result. You don't know what to do, where to go. You don't even know how to figure stuff out. And Christians should not be found in that position. I had to be willing to be seen as an oddball, but not be ashamed of what I had planned. You had to be willing to be seen as an oddball when you make a plan, because you want to stay with it. Amen. You must break away from the familiar to have an adventure. Ooh, I like the way God said that. He said you got to break away from what you used to have an adventure. Some would miss great adventures because they love familiarity too much. They refuse to leave their comfort zone. See, they're still living in the past. Without realizing that their comfort zone is changing too. You used to live in a community where everybody knew one another. And you could almost leave your house with your house unlocked. You better not try that one today. You might be living in the same community you grew up in, but it changed on you, didn't it? In your mind, it's the same, but it's not. It changed because you're still living in the past. For instance, the Lord is always, he's so funny. They're like the hood mechanic. He is so familiar with his surroundings and his customers that he fails to realize that the city bought the land where he was doing his illegal business and they tore down the building. Now his customers come, but he can't work. So now he is without income. But why? Because he failed to plan for change. He should have made it a legitimate business. But how many times you know people do that? They don't ever want to make it legal. Not realizing that change coming. I don't know if y'all heard recently, but you know, if you make more than $500 in a year, the government said, I want my taxes. One man said, people don't resist change. They resist being changed. Now that is the gospel. I'll say it again. People don't resist change. They resist being changed. It's not the change around you that's the problem. It's the fact that there's no change within you. It's the fact that there is no change within you. You know, I can remember for years, my husband and I, we would mentor people and talk to them and stuff like that. And it's like they took all that time and wasted it. And you said, for what? And their life never really changed. And all the word that we were teaching, it can be very disturbing to any man or woman of God. You don't even have to pastor. You can just be a mentor yourself. But when you mentor somebody and you labor before God and you get answers, and then they take that lightly. And you come back in 10 years and their life have never changed. Not even so much as how they live. It can be very disturbing. Can you imagine what God has to deal with when he look at us after he's poured out all of this and done this and said everything, sent his son. Jesus did all of this and went through all of this so we can have an accurate account of the word, how to live, what to do. And we just wait for something to come upon us before we decide we're going to make a move. Instead of planning, because change is coming. Some people would rather be terminated or let go than change. For instance, you work on a job, and in order to keep up the pace of the demand on the job, you are told you need to learn how to work a computer. Most people in this room, they'll go, well, I know how to work a computer. Well, I'm talking to those that don't. I know people that won't learn a computer, but they're handicapped. Uh-oh. You can't even how to go pump gas without understanding the computer. Now, they are not asking you to become a computer expert, but learn the basics. But what that person said, no, child, I'm too old for that. In other words, I turn my learning button off. You just accept me the way I am, even though I'm living in the past. Just accept me the way I am. So then they prepare, what the company does, they prepare a package for you and encourage you to retire early. Why? Because you are expensive to a company. And you've already told them how far you will go. This is why many employers downsize. Yes, the economics is a major factor. They have a generation like the Israelites that are in, that are stuck in the past and unwilling to do something new. So they downsize and get some young blood in there. And then y'all quarrel and you complain and you gripe. And the man said, I can't keep you here because you're expensive. See, you're at the age now where you're going to be a liability to the company. Your health is failing because you won't listen to change. Things are changing in your life. You got issues that you didn't have when you were 25. Y'all better hear me. But you're in a place where you got income and you won't change to maintain your own income. Ooh, Jesus. Where you are right now financially should not be where you end up at the end of 2023. I'm not looking for y'all to stay the same. Something about you should increase. You should have more flexible money. You must prepare yourself to make a decision that I am changing starting today. I am going to be better at the end of 2023. Something about me is going to be definitely changed. And I'm a discipline myself to make it happen. Woo, Jesus. Now, you need to be here Wednesday night, and I'm going to teach you how I save money. My children, I was telling my son about it. My children, my husband used to tell the children, go to your mama. She always got money. But I always planned for everything. In my house right now, I got a little jar. My grandson, you know why? I planned. That when he comes and Casey said, oh, he's having kind of a bad day today. He nagging around. I said, carry him to lunch. I go in his jar, take out money. That's for him. They go to lunch, and I replenish it. Oh, y'all see, you said that don't make, see, but I'm not trying to rob my general account that facilitates my house. I'm not going to get too far ahead. You need to be here Wednesday night to learn how I save money, because you're going to be amazed at what you can get. How many of y'all want to have $10,000 in 100 days? I'll show you how to do it. Can you be disciplined to do it? And I may not live stream it, so if you stay home, you might miss this one. You need to be here. Hallelujah. I'm still hearing whether or not I should live stream it, because that's just the way the Lord's been talking to me right now, so I'll let that be. Turn to Romans 12, 1 and 2. Are you learning? Hallelujah. Romans chapter 12. You know, this church was founded on this chapter and these two verses. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Now, transformed there means being changed. It means change. But be ye changed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So change is left up to you. Notice what the Bible says is the key to change is. It does not say be ye changed by the things changing around you. It says, but be changed. Say change. One more time. Say it again. By the renewing of whose mind? My mind. So my atmosphere doesn't have to change for my mind to be right. So he says the emphasis is not on your circumstance. The emphasis is on how you think about your circumstance. Because your circumstance, they happens. Change comes to everybody's life. Okay? Listen, your baby did die. It's a sad situation. But how will you deal with it? Yes, your spouse left you. Are you going to make it your prison? You lost your job. Are you going to spend the next 12 months crying about it? See, it's how you think. And we've been commanded to change the way we think to line up with the will of God. Because the circumstances around you may not necessarily change. But you can prepare. Woo, Jesus. See, these are all changes that come. Repeat after me. I must change the way I think about change. Because we see change as a negative. But change is always happening. You cannot control all the things around you, but you can control how they affect you. You can control the way you think about change. See, the way you think about changes controls your health, how you sleep, even your attitude. Write these down. Write this down. You cannot resist change. You cannot, number two, you cannot ignore change. Number three, you must accept change. Number four, you must adjust to change. Number five, you can manage change, but you can't stop it. Number six, you can become a victim of change or learn to manipulate change. Number seven, you can prepare and plan for change. Here's one of my favorites. Number eight, or you can initiate change. Because changes are coming. Say before. Before your job closes down, because some businesses are going out of business this year. And it may not impact you, but it might impact somebody else that's listening. Before the job closes down, why don't you go ahead and start your business on the side while you got a job? Oh, instead of waiting until the change shows up and you become chaotic. Because now you don't have a job, you don't have a steady flow of income, and you have nothing to work with. And everything you got in your hand now, you're going to try to utilize it to stay alive. That's not the way to do it. Write this down. Plan beyond your job. Why? Nothing is secure. It's temporal. We just read in the 2 Corinthians. Your job is temporary. The reason people fall apart or go crazy when things happen is because they expected things to stay the same forever. And they didn't plan for change. Sometimes you need to sit down and say, what would happen if this one left me or this one died? Or, you know, not trying to be morbid or doom and gloom. But if you don't, that's part of planning. That's called a will and a testament. That's part of planning. If you don't plan for people to die, and when they die, you don't have a plan, because they're going to die one day. That's part of the changes that come to us. They're going to leave this earth if Jesus continues to tarry. Somebody in your life is going to leave this earth. What do you do when difficult things happen? Do you run, go and hide, afraid that people would think you are a loser? See, I've had to face all those situations. My husband, when we had to leave the church building, you know we're going back, right? We're going back. And I don't care what they say. We going back. But see, when we had to leave, it was embarrassing. But we could have decided, just give up. Don't worry about it anymore. We just going to look. But we weren't losers. Amen. We gained an expectation. We began to look at the future. It was the past. Yes, it hurt for a moment, but it was the past. And in the future, that building is in their future. You can never change the thoughts of people about you, but you can initiate change in you. You got to quit trying to chase what people think about you all the time. You must look ahead at the future and have expectation. Time and change are always in motion. We have to live with them. Therefore, we should plan to use them to our advantage because they're always in motion. Time and change. Look, I've been teaching probably almost a good 20, 25 minutes. Praise and worship is in the past. Even though we're in the room, we're still in the same room, the same day. Praise and worship is in the past. Because time and change is always in motion. Ooh, Jesus. You need to go back and listen to this lesson multiple times and say to yourself, I am not going to wait for things to happen to me, but I am going to initiate change. I am going to determine what happens in my life. Why? Because something changes will happen anyway. So how do I initiate change? A man once said, unless you are prepared to give up something valuable, you will never be able to truly change at all. So whatever you deem valuable to you, your time, whatever you call your value, what's valuable to you, you got to deem that something, my favorite show, what I want to do, Because if you don't learn to give up what you deem is valuable, you'll never have anything better than that. Why? Because you will be forever in the control of the things you can't give up. It'll control you. This is why giving is such a powerful strategic tool, because you're supposed to learn through your giving how to release things and not get stuck on it. You're not supposed to get an item and get stuck on it. Because I remember my gold bracelet. Y'all know my gold bracelet story. It was 18 carat. It had 3 diamonds in it. It was not a cheap bracelet. We went to a Kenneth Copeland conference, and I heard the Lord telling me to sow, because I've been asking for understanding and wisdom about some things. And you know, I just wanted to grow. I was hungry for the things of God. But I had to give something valuable. And I stuck that bracelet in the envelope and sealed it up and put it in the offering and went back home and began to fast and pray, and boom, wisdom, understanding. I began to look at the word totally different. Why? Something valuable had to be let go of. Something I deemed valuable to me. What you got that you're holding on to that God is asking you for right now that will release on you something better, something new. A new adventure. Woo, Jesus. Life is about giving up and discovery. It's about giving up what's familiar to have the new. It's about entering and leaving. Life is a passage, not a destination. It is a constant flow of changes. Some people commit suicide. Some end up on Skid Row because they wouldn't handle the changes that came to them. Yeah. They weren't prepared for the change. If you desire constant success, you must change your conduct with the times. In other words, you got to learn how to flow. Say flow. You must constantly adjust yourself to the changes around you. Some of you have been with this church for years, and over the years, things change. Well, things will continue to change. The way we are doing church today may eventually change. Oh, okay. See, right now, everybody know everybody. We have access to one another. You have access to your pastors. But someday soon, that will change. So to keep from becoming bitter and saying, "Don't nobody care about you anymore," I'm asking you to start today to prepare for the change that's coming. That means you grow up a little bit more. Come on. Dr. Davis and I never wanted any of you to become dependent on us doing everything. We always expected you, and still do, to grow and develop to where we can, with confidence, use you. So don't wait for a position to start developing, because the future will run over you. Because see, when it's time for the position and you're not developed, you can't get it. And then you get offended. But you lack development, not opportunity. See, that's that future catching up with you and running you over. Because you waiting because you figure, "I've been here a long time. I should have this position." That's not how it works in the kingdom. Positions are appointed by the Holy Spirit. Never allow a title to define you. Why? You are always more important than the title. This is why your development. Don't let the title cause you to miss your future. Because you're running behind the title. In the near future, the Spirit will be sending me out on speaking engagements. Pastor DJ and I will need you ready, so don't wait for the announcement. Prepare yourself now for change. Why? Change is coming. If this church is going to continue to grow, and it is, change is coming. Ready or not, it's coming. And how you fit in it is all up to you. Amen. Not me, not Pastor DJ. It's up to you. Amen. Okay. The only key to regulating time and change is planning. And this is what most of us fail to do. Watch this. We will plan a grocery list, but won't plan our lives. We shop with a list, but there's no list of goals for the next 5-10 years. You control yourself in the grocery store because of the list. That grocery list sets you on a course to make sure you don't go off course. And you're not going to put something extra until you got everything on your list. Can you imagine controlling your life through the times of your existence here on this earth? Life and death is in whose mouth? Yeah, it's in your tongue. I must plan to live. And you got to plan to die. You have got to know what you want and what you don't want in life. In order to reach your goal, your list for life will tell you who you need to have to hang out with, who not to hang out with, what books to read, what books not to read, what places to go, and what places not to go. Your list will tell you how to conduct yourself. Because you got a plan for your life. And if it's not in your plan, you don't participate. That's not to say you got to participate in everything if it goes against the plan that you and God have come up with. See, God is looking for us to present something to him so he can tweak it. We wait for God to put a plan in the sky, drop it down, and put it in our notebook. That ain't going to happen. You can pray all day for a plan, and you won't get it. Because you got to go in the Bible and find out who you are and plan your life. In other words, your list for your life puts you on course with a destination. Why? Because where there is no clear vision, people will perish. I'm going to bring on Wednesday night the business plan that my husband and I wrote for this church. It still got to happen. Because the Bible talks about writing the vision, making it plain. So whoever reads it can run with it. Now, Dr. Davis is in heaven. Now, we got to run with it. Thank God for the plan written. Just think if he had left with all of the vision inside of his mind. I thought about David and how that David had in his heart to build the temple. And God said, well, because you've been in so much wars and there's been so much bloodshed, I'm not going to let you do it. But he provided what Solomon needed. He planned in advance for the temple. Solomon didn't have to struggle to build it. His daddy provided all the resources to build the temple. Ooh, Jesus. We're talking about planning. All right, I think I'm going to close on this one. So I'm going to remind you again, this Wednesday, it is my desire that you all be here. If you can't, I'll try my best to understand, but I will be sharing how to save money. You really don't want to miss it. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know if we're going to live stream it, but we'll know by Wednesday. Because some things, you might want to ask me a question, and I don't want your questions to be on live stream unless the Lord says something different. Because I want to interact. And then Pastor DJ will probably come back the following Wednesday. But I want to interact. I want to be able to answer your questions. So that's one of the reasons I'm delaying possibly live streaming it. Because I want you to get this. This year, I want something about us to change. Financially, spiritually. I want something to change. I tell you how And I ain't taking no kudos like I'm some smart financial whiz, because I didn't go to school for financial understanding. I understand the principles of the word. And I use them. And some things, you know, you're going to hear a lot of stuff on YouTube and stuff like that. And it's been, some things been around for ages. People just now catching up to it. But I want you to be here so you can hear how God used me. It's the same plan that I use, and I share this with you. When we bought our Z in 2003, at that time, I think with all the stuff on it, came to like $47,000. My husband said, I don't want to pay this for 3 years. I said, okay. I said, how much can you commit to saving? Now, you got to save plus meet the regular payments. Are you hearing me? So I took my system. He paid the car off in 1 year. It works. But you got to learn discipline. It works. Are you ready to come or stand to your feet?